Hi, everybody. Welcome to Increasingly Lax on In Lacrosse We Trust. I'm your host, Todd McAlee. Team USA member and Boston Cannon great Kevin Buchanan joins us this week. We talk about playing for country, playing for club, and if lacrosse can build off of soccer's momentum and really grow as a sport. Enjoy.
On the phone now, Kevin Buchanan, Brine Star, Team USA member, Boston Cannon. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Todd.
How much brine stuff do you get annually?
I have a lot of brine stuff, let me tell you. Boxes and boxes of brine stuff. But always welcome. They make a lot of great stuff, a lot of great products from the equipment to apparel. So, always welcomed.
Do you have family and friends coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, hook me up with a sweatshirt, or I need a stick, or new staff?
Of course. Everything. Anything you could possibly imagine, they'll ask for.
What does it mean for you to be on Team USA? When you heard your name was on that final 23-man roster, first off, how did you find out?
Well, we found out this past Sunday. Coach Mead was, making the calls. I received my call early afternoon. Coach was sitting in BW Airport. He was on a connection, making his way back down to Furman in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all Team USA obviously accepted. That's kind of really how I found out. Obviously, very excited, just stoked. I mean, what a great thing to be a part of, to be able to go out and represent your country in Colorado against 40 other nations. I can't wait. I'm actually leaving within the next couple hours here to go out to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
The Cannons, we play tomorrow night in Denver, and then I'm just going to stay out there for the next 2 weeks. And it's just going to be, it's going to be an experience of a lifetime. It really is.
I spoke with Jesse Bernhardt a few months ago. It was right before the Maryland Hopkins game. So the roster was kind of taking shape, and I asked him, what are the practices like? And he said it's some of the most intense non-game, even like game lacrosse that he's ever been a part of. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, obviously we were going through the tryout phase, so everyone wants to be, in their best behavior. Obviously, they want to be at their peak. So everyone is very attentive and very focused, if you will. So I think that's where probably Jesse's getting that from is. And they are. The practices are extremely intense. I mean, everyone was fighting for a roster spot. I mean, it's just awesome experience to be on the field with such fantastic players. I mean, you're wowed every couple of minutes. You're just like, what did the kid just do? it is very intense. Everyone is extremely focused. And you need to be when you're playing at that level. So, tough practices they are. Definitely have to dial in.
Have you ever caught yourself just saying, kind of along the same lines, like, oh my God, look at what that guy just did. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get the oohs and ahs quite frequently in practice. That's what you get when you have that many, fantastic players out there, working together. It's exciting. It keeps us fun. It really does.
Who's the one guy on the team, aside from yourself, all right? If there's one guy on the team, you're in the championship game, 10 seconds left, you have to tie the game, you have the goal, you have a shot to win. It can't be you. Who's the one guy you want taking the shot?
Who's the one guy I want taking the shot? I'm going to take Kevin now. Because probably he's taking the shot from, let's say, somewhere in the paint, which means, five yards in front of the crease. And, Kevin obviously is one of the best finishers I've ever come across.
Yeah.
Guy catches everything. Always moving, cutting, awesome lacrosse IQ, and can bury the ball. So I would have to go with my U.S. teammate. How about that? Kevin LaBelle. Give him the rocks.
All right. So you said you're going out to Denver. With the pro team and then staying there. What's the team schedule like? What's the practice schedule like? When does Team USA assemble? Are you guys all staying in the same hotel? How's that all working?
Yeah, we will be the Canons. So I'll be with the Canons through Saturday.
Yeah.
And we actually on Sunday. So once we all rendezvous at the Denver International Airport on Sunday, we'll be grabbing a bus and we'll be taking off to Colorado Springs. We'll be at Colorado Springs for about 3 to 4 days,
mm-hmm.
Where we will have a small training camp for preparation with the games at the Air Force Academy. And then we will head down to Denver. And I believe, I'm not quite sure where we're staying in Denver, possibly Denver University. I think we're staying in the dorms, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know what it looked like. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have given us a schedule. Typically, that stuff changes.
Yeah.
It pretty much changes every day. But I'm sure we'll have one or two practices a day. I'm sure some sprinkling, some conditioning, some lifting in there. You know, it's really key that I think it's good for us that we'll be practicing in Colorado Springs because the altitude is a little bit higher. It's at 6,000 feet versus Denver, which is at 5. So I don't do too well with elevation. I have trouble just when I go out west to ski. I get nauseous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it'll be good to be a little, you know, give yourself, you know, 3-4 days to acclimate and then come back down to Denver at 5,000.
And then when you were in college, I would imagine you guys were playing a fair amount of games in the West.
Yeah, we did. We always played Air Force Academy and we always played Denver.
Right.
They do, because we would come in and come out a lot of times. You know, I speaking with Adam Thomas, who is the trainer for the Boston Cannons and also the assistant trainer for Team USA, because it's such a short time, like when we're in and out, typically when playing with the Cannons or even when I was playing in college, doesn't affect you as much because your body almost actually doesn't really have time to adjust to it, accumulate to it. It is what it is. It's just such a short time. But after those 2, 3, 4 days, then your body starts to need to acclimate to it, and that's kind of really when you start seeing the effects of it on you.
You said skiing. Do you ski or snowboard?
I do both. I'm a dual threat in the mountain.
There you go. There you go. Did you hone your craft at Ski Liberty and Whitetail?
Yeah, I have skied at those.
Yeah.
And now being in New England, though, we have Gray Mountains up in Vermont and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I mean, out west is insane, though.
I know. I was in Breckenridge and Vail a few years ago, and it's nuts. It's so much. It makes you wonder why you pay any money to go to some of these like little like Whitetail, and it's the same price for an 8-hour lift ticket here as it is.
Yeah,
Beaver Creek. It's like we're getting hosed. When you're with the Cannons, you know, the MLL, obviously you have pros on all the different national teams, but particularly Canadians. Is there any trash talking going on?
No, not yet. I mean, we don't have a ton of Canadians on the Cannons.
But on the different teams.
No, I don't, not, I mean, this is, World Games is a serious event. I think a lot of people, you know, even when we're just playing right now with, you know, people are focusing on the MLL season and, you know, being as successful as possible, with those teams. I don't think there's any trash talking that's gone thus far. I mean, I think after this weekend and then, you know, after all the MLL games conclude, I think then people really will jump at, okay, World Games is here, that mode. I'm sure, I mean, we all know and play against each other, whether it be in the MLL or the NLL. So I'm sure there's going to be some beacon come time, game time, that's for sure.
I'm sure you watched the World Cup. You saw how the country really got behind the soccer team, Team USA. And, you know, lacrosse is growing and growing and growing and not yet to the level of soccer, but how important is it for you guys to be something that the country, particularly people who are just casual lacrosse fans, can get behind as well?
I mean, soccer is obviously the world's biggest sport.
Right.
But it does. I mean, you know, I think this is a step, you know what I mean? This is a step to legitimizing lacrosse, continuing to have work from, you know, your fellow Americans behind us is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for us, the team, and getting us pumped and psyched and motivated to to obviously honor our country and compete at a high level and win, but also just in growing the game, you know what I mean? And having those people get around this is huge. You know, at ESPN, I believe, is going to televise quite a bit of the games. I think
yes.
They'll have majority of them, and which is awesome now, you know, from people that aren't local or not local, but won't be in Denver, will have a chance to root from afar. So it's huge. I mean, it's just always a step in the right direction. I think lacrosse continues to grow, and, you know, we're just part of that growth.
I think having in Denver is appropriate, too, because I know when I was growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, lacrosse was just starting to blossom, if you will, at places like Ohio State, at places like Denver, even Notre Dame, you know, it still wasn't on the level where it is now. Michigan didn't have a team. And now that Denver's kind of a new hotbed of the sport, it showcases
yeah.
really the growth of
it
where.
Really, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, when I was at Ohio State, there was evidence of the growth, you know, just from like the clinics that we would run. I mean, from my freshman year, say we'd have like 100 kids come through from throughout the state of Ohio, and then by the time I was a senior, you know,
yeah.
my year, we were having like three different clinics with 350 kids at each one.
Right.
And all the teen camps and the amount of teens that were coming out and the high schools around it, and it's just the talent level is getting higher. I mean, it's insane. You know, it's a great sport. It really is, and it makes sense to grow. You know, it makes sense at how fast it's growing. You know, and here in Boston's even evidence of it too. There's so much growth here as well. And
mm-hmm.
in Denver, you know, with Denver University, you know, doing so well the past couple of years. You know, they have great following with the Colorado Mammoth as well as the Denver Outlaws. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it makes sense, and it's a great fit for the games to be hosted in Denver.
And you have more guys like yourself get endorsement deals. There are, you know, obviously Paul is all over the place, and then you have, you know, Rob Pinnell is on TV every 5 minutes during the NCAA tournament with different Brian stuff that it's becoming a whole it's reaching a whole different level, and it seems as if you guys are really embracing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, the opportunity to be an ambassador for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sport hadn't hit its tipping point yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, with Paul, you know, people recognize Paul of all ages, whether it be, you know, obviously I spend a lot of time with Paul, plus I'm my good friends and teammates with Russell Cannon, so I'm with him, you know,
right.
summer. But yeah, but, you know, Paul is a recognizable face. I mean, I guess you could categorize him as a celebrity, as funny as that sounds. Yeah, I mean, people, you know, little kids recognize him.
Yeah.
You know, I was with him in Denver, and some cop recognized him, or, you know, like, asked him if you're that lacrosse guy. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's key. You know, it's a step in the right direction. More and more guys are being able to do lacrosse full time, whether it just be running camps and clinics, and with coupled with endorsements, or you know, coaching at the college level and playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a step in the right direction, and it's been fun, and I can't wait for it to continue to go. And you know, hopefully, at one point, guys are going to be able to do it full time.
Well, and then you have guys like, you know, Kyle Harrison, who has a big endorsement deal with STX and has his own pro tour.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. I mean, dude, I mean, it's a growing game. I think more and more people are getting into it. You know, it's being played all over the country, whether it be a warmer climate, colder
mm-hmm.
climate, doesn't really matter. I don't think it's going to ever be isolated to one area. You know, I have the ability to play it all over the place. Yeah, it's got potential. It's got potential.
What's it like when you're with the Cannons and one of Rabel's shots whips by you?
Well, I know Paul's game very well now playing with him.
Yeah.
So this is my sixth season with them. You know, I've ran with Paul for quite a long time. I can pretty much tell you exactly what Paul's going to do at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a great person to play with. You know, we have a ton of great players in the Cannons. You know, Brian Boyle obviously is a fantastic lacrosse player with an amazing IQ. Steven Berger, Will Manny, doing jobs out there. And just, you know, and obviously Burkle, tons of great players, you know, to be surrounded by. Unfortunately, our season hasn't been as good as we'd like it to be. A lot of close losses, little things that we just need to kind of turn on, be smarter at certain times in the game to help us close out victories.
I spoke with Steven Brooks last week from Chesapeake, and the Bayhawks, you know, another traditional power, are kind of experiencing the same thing. Do you think the World Games, I don't want to call them a distraction, but, you know, both your teams obviously have a fair amount of players going to the national team. Do you think just the amount of lacrosse and the time constraints, the commitments, have hurt some of the MLL teams this year?
I mean, it's a fair question. I don't think it necessarily had a negative impact on us.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something else on your plate. That's for sure. You know, it's just something else you're concentrating on. You know, making sure you're doing your workouts, communicating with those. You know, being here, being there, spending time in Connecticut the whole week, playing with different guys, focusing on different offenses. You know, the international game is very different. It's not, we don't have a shot clock. You know, so I'm not going to say it's a distraction, but, you know, it is something else that's on your plate that we got to concentrate and we got to be at our best to win gold.
Last weekend, I said I just spoke with Steven Brooks. Sorry, my allergies killed me. That was awkward. He loves the shot clock. Do you like the shot clock?
Yeah, no, shot clock is great. I would agree with Brooksy. I think it's awesome. I mean, it keeps the pace of the game up. You know, the big thing is lacrosse once didn't need a shot clock because the technology and the gear that the guys were playing with wasn't as advanced as it is today.
Right.
So they hold on to the ball, possess the ball back in the 80s and 70s, like in the 90s, like you can today. The technology and the sticks, how light they are, how, you know, molds that you can make, all the different designs, the flaring, the scoops, all that stuff plays into being able to possess the ball so much better. Even with the equipment, you know, those sticks are so much lighter nowadays. You know, back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago, getting beaten on with basically a solid piece of wood, I mean, that hurts. You don't want to carry the ball then. You're gonna move
right.
it. You know what I mean? Nowadays, the sticks are a lot lighter for the reason because you can handle the ball a lot better, but the checks don't hurt as much, and our padding is better, so we're able to possess the ball more. So, you know, I think because of that evolution in technology, I think this sport needs to evolve, and the rules need to evolve, and I think that shot clock is a piece of that, and I think it's key. It's something that keeps the pace of the game. It's a necessary thing, and I hope college goes to it because it's a ton of fun to play. I mean, we see it in all sports. You see it in basketball, has it as well. Football has it as well. I mean, they have it. You can't just wait, you know, 3 minutes before you want to play. Keeps the pace of the game. I think it's, and I love it.
Well, even when I was growing up playing, and I'm sure, you know, you're a little younger than me when you were too. I mean, I had an STX Turbo and then a Brine Edge. And like you said, they weren't the big wooden sticks of the 70s. You got smacked with a Turbo or a Brine Mark II or STX Viper. I mean, you really felt it. And I was fiddling around with the stick the other day. I forget which brand it was. And it's nothing. There's nothing there to it. It's so light.
I mean, The plastic itself is just different. Plastics, the material they use, you're right. I mean, the Turbo was a heavy head. I played the Viper. They were just thick, straight, heavy heads with a heavy aluminum shaft.
yeah. I know. I remember when Warrior first came out with the titanium shaft, and it was, revolutionized lacrosse. Does Team USA, do you have your lines put in yet, you know, or is that something that will change from game to game?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, last week was still, you know, somewhat of a try. It was a tryout, you know.
Right.
Cuts to be made, and the lines fluctuated quite a bit last week. So we haven't set any lines. I'm sure that's going to happen here in Colorado Springs at Air Force early next week.
What's Coach Meade like? Does he seem like a college coach, or has he kind of obviously you didn't play for him in college, but do you think, is he acting like a college coach, or has he kind of adapted his game a little bit, realizing that, you know, you guys are 23 of the best lacrosse players in the world. You're all adults, grown men. Things can be a little different.
Yeah. I mean, he treats us like men. That's for sure. He treats us like, adults that, we are the top echelon in the sport. And I think, along with Coach Meade, Coach Tambro, and as well as Coach Petro, I mean, they're college coaches.
Right.
That's what they do. I mean, that's what they know, and that's what they've been successful at, which has gotten to this point. So I think a lot of their principles, we will use are geared toward college as well as, gearing it towards the international style of game as well. Coach Meade definitely has a high influence of the military because of his long employment at U.S. Navy.
Right.
So everything as far as making sure that we're dressed, everyone's dressed accordingly, everyone matches, everyone's prompt on time, which I need to tighten up myself because I'm bad at that. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a tight run shift, that's for sure.
One last thing, and I'll get you out. Thanks for being so generous of your time. I know you have a plane to catch here in a few hours. The USA will win the world title if. What's the biggest thing you guys have to do?
USA will win the world title if. I'm going to have to say we'll win the world title if we shoot well and defend well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we're collective with our shooting, if we're smart with our shooting, and patient on our shooting, and shoot high percentage shots.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do well in the offensive end. And from the defensive end, if we can contain the picks, the excessive cutting, a lot of the jamming of the ball that the Iroquois as well as the Canadians do. Those are the big things, I think.
Well, the shooting thing's really interesting to me is that I never thought about it, but, if you get a shot, world-class goaltender stops it, that break is going to start immediately the other way.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, MLL, the ball's up in the field so quick, you don't even know it.
Right.
By the time you're done your follow-through, the ball's in the back of your net. absolutely. I mean, and being the international game is a little bit different because, you take a shot, you might not, and if it's a poor shot from a poor angle or a poor spot in the field, you may not see the ball for the next 2-3 minutes.
Right.
Shot clock governing the pace of the game. So,
and particularly against a team like Team USA that everybody's gunning for, they know the weapons that you have. Some teams are probably going to be prone to hold on to the ball to slow the game down.
Oh, absolutely. They'll manage the game. So it's key. We got to shoot in good spots. We got to be smart. We got to take good shots. Guys got to play within themselves, play their game. If you're a volume shooter, you need to shoot volumes, but you need to shoot volumes smart. You got to take pipes. If you miss, fine, we'll back it up. You can't be throwing, high heat or straight at the goalie's head. Ain't going to work. So we'll be good.
All right. Kevin, your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
And good luck in Colorado.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, later.